What up? Jimmy Murray here with Frank Petalano, and we are the Cashflow Kings. The Cashflow Kings podcast discusses money, finance, mindset, and investing with an emphasis on cash flowing real estate.
Thanks for joining the Cashflow Kings, and welcome to our new episode, Creative Finance with Joe and Jen Delafave.
Yay, we're here to help you
crush
on,
your goals.
Woohoo!
No doubt, no doubt. Excited to have you guys. I think that this is probably going to be one of the best podcasts of the year so far. Because everybody hates high interest rates and paying taxes. So you guys can help us with the first part of that for sure. You guys have dove in deep on creative finance in your investing career. Can you tell us a little bit like how you got started, how you came across creative finance?
Yeah. So I'm Joe Delafave, my wife, Jen. And it was 24 years ago. I was at a buddy's house and he bought some late night commercial course on TV from Ron LeGrand, way back old school.
I was gonna say Carlton Sheets,
right? It's always one of the two, but he bought Ron LeGrand's, and so he had it for a while. I was at his house, he lived with his mom, and he's pulling all this stuff out of the closet, and here's this course, and he never opened it. It was like brand new in the wrapper. So I begged because it was like
it on cassette,
audio cassette. It had a VCR tape and it had a book. I still have it. I promised I'd give it back. I never did. We're still great friends though, so we're cool. But either way, he let me borrow it. I listened to the audio cassette tapes. I watched the VCR tape. I read the book. I did what it said. A little over a month later, I had a deal under contract. And this was, I bought my first house I ever owned for a half an hour. And I had it sold. The buyer was already there. And I made like $15,000. And when I was 22 years old, I was broke and had bad credit. So when you get a check for 12-7 clear, I was like, the lotto. So I was lucky enough to meet Jen in 2008. She was a teacher. I worked at the car dealership and we each had our own house. But then I was dragging her to like these ugly houses. And what we were doing is when the market took a dive, we were buying these houses. They were actually just sitting on the market. We're putting low offers and we'd buy almost one a year. Sometimes we wouldn't even hit one a year. But that's what our goal was. And we'd buy these houses. We'd renovate them, make them beautiful, rent them out. We'd refinance it and do it all over again. And then I didn't know till a few years ago that we were burring. I didn't know that was the name of it.
Isn't that funny? I didn't know it was called house hacking, but I was doing it. And when I started, like, I'm looking at my mortgage payment. I'm looking at what I'm taking in for rent. So I'm like, whoa, I have to do more of this. Like, this totally makes sense.
Yep.
So some similar strategy. I was like, I know this was called that. But
it's funny how you stumble into it.
Yeah.
So really that's what we were doing. And then Jen walked away from teaching after we had married. We started having a family. We got two little ones at the time. And I was at the bank in 2016, refinancing out of one of our properties. And my friend at the bank says, Joe, at 10 mortgages, we're going to have to cut you and Jen off. So you need to figure something else out. And I kind of went home feeling defeated. I was on YouTube. I was looking up all these different things and I come across Ron LeGrand again. And here's Ron talking about what he calls the pretty house business, which is buying these turnkey houses without using your credit, without using really hardly anything to buy them, and no banks, which was really exactly what we wanted to do. So we dove deep. My poor wife, anytime we were anywhere, we were always listening to Ron.
Ron was with us. Date nights, hanging out around the house.
So I am totally with you. I drive my wife nuts with Andy Frisella. So she's like, do we have to listen? I'm like, listen, we got a 3-hour drive to New Hampshire right now. This is what we're listening to.
Yeah. And it even works. On fun date nights.
Well, we call it drive time university. You got to learn in Love the it. Time that you have. So,
well, that's what we did. So we knew this is what we wanted to do. So there were some pieces missing. So we actually hired, we called Ron's office and hired one of his coaches to help us out and help put some of those missing pieces together of that puzzle. And within a few months, we did our very first, well, we create a finance deal, which was a seller finance deal where we bought a turnkey property, didn't need a thing, and about 5-10 minutes from where we already live. So it's a nice area. We bought it with $100 down, a $500 a month payment, and a 0% mortgage. And I was like,
$100. I feel like Dr. Evil. $100.
Yeah. I mean, like, I legitimately signed that paper with the guy at McDonald's.
I love it.
Came home and I have that picture Jen just posted on her Instagram. There's me like totally cheesing from like 6-7 years ago.
That was 2017. Yep.
That's amazing. Can we go back to the investment that you made though?
Yeah.
This one took me a while to learn. So I spent more on coaching this year than most realtors make in a year. I think that's the best way to kind of put it.
Yep.
But it took me a while to get there. I was always the cheap ass investor. I didn't want to pay for coaching. I'll go find it. Like, I learned real estate on BiggerPockets and YouTube. So I was like, I don't need to pay for this stuff. But getting in the right rooms has helped me elevate my game so much over the course of the last year. It's been incredible. What was like the push? Like, when you went to pay for coaching and work with one of Ron's coaches?
Really what it was we just wanted to figure out how to do this. There was like, you know, I knew this had to be the strategy. I'm watching all the videos, but there was just some questions. And so you could start taking a little bit of action here or there, but I've really felt like if we could have a coach look over our shoulder, make sure that we're doing each step right, that was going to be the difference. And that truly was that education of not only learning, but what the difference was, we actually implemented what we learned. So many people want to be on YouTube or university and just study, but they'll never take the action. And how myself and Jen are, we just need to be told what to do and like, just get out of our way and let us go because we're action takers.
So do you, those listening in, they literally just gave you the play, right? Hire the coach. The coach is going to fill in the gaps. You literally now have the playbook and execute.
Take action.
Messy, massive action. The uncomfortable one step after another, but having your coach there answer the questions along the way, you know, and don't hire a coach just to sit there and learn. You have to take the action.
100%. I got stuck in a deal a couple of weeks ago where on our wholesale deals, we normally put down a $5,000 EMD. I've closed the deal with a $5 EMD before. So normally we can coach the seller down, but this one was hard up. They wanted 12.5. And I call my coach and I'm like, dude, what the hell? And he's like, well, how much are you going to make on the deal? I'm like, I think at least 50 grand. He's like, hold on. So you're not willing to like put 12 grand aside for 45 days until this thing closes to make 50? He's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I want to set the standard of not putting down more than 5 as an EMD. I don't want the next seller to be like 50. And he's like, dude, don't be dumb. Go sign the contract.
Just tell that seller, right? If I give you that EMD, please don't tell any other seller that I'm doing this with you. Okay. Right. Don't let the word get out.
Fortunately, we worked him enough that we got another land deal coming up. So excited for that. Against my religion to put down a high EMD. So as I'm hearing you with the $100, I'm like, yeah, I wish every deal I could put down $100. But
yeah, no, I totally get it. And that's kind of been one of our things that we really try to do. And I think that's the difference of why you can do so many deals, right?
So after you guys clear that first deal, where's your head at after that first deal? And what are you trying to build from there?
So we did that seller finance deal. We did one more after that they had a mortgage, and we learned how to do what's called a wrap. We bought that deal too, still have it. And fast forward 2020, and I'm at my day job, finance director at a big car dealership in New York. And they tell me that I'm getting this huge promotion. Well, 2 weeks later, COVID happens, right? March 2020. Oh, yeah. So they closed New York. I got sent home. I'm sitting there chatting with Jen. I still think I'm going back. Like, I looked at some of my text messages a few days ago from that long ago, and it's like, oh, I'll be back in a few weeks. Meanwhile, Jen, the whole time, is way smarter than me. And she's like, yeah, you're never going back. Like, we're going to do this full time now. We talked about it, but we're going to do full time now. So we had a different coach at that point in our life named Nate Armstrong, who was awesome.
Hold on. And so you guys listening in, are you hearing that they leveled up to the next coach?
Yeah.
Because this is literally the game. This is people, like, everybody wants to live in Instagram entrepreneur, or I call it the entrepreneur world.
Yeah.
I'm making X amount. I get the Lambos that I rented for the day, just put on Instagram. The truth is, it takes time. But the other
with the fake money too, Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean
the fake, not the bills, like fake bills, taking pictures with it.
Use only on the bills. Yeah. I'm with you. I got you. Go zoom in on those pictures so you can see it. But you got to level up with your coaching too. Like, that's huge. Absolutely. Hey, listen, I learned from this person. All right, we're in a good spot. We kind of not ran the well dry, but we drank from the cup. Let's find the next one so we can continue to improve our skill set. So, well,
and you hit on the head. That's exactly what we did. And the coach at that point says, Joe, Jen, like, if you're going to do this full time, we are still sitting on our old front porch. And she's like, if you're going to do this full time, you need to hire people. You can't do it all on your own.
Yes.
So I put something on like Facebook just saying, like, where our team's growing, no experience necessary. Come join our real estate team. And Jen, I think you put it, what, Instagram?
Yeah, we just kind of shared. We've been sharing. And I think that's the importance too, sharing on social as you go, not being anything other than what you truly are. And people are watching. And so when we thought that we were hiring, we already had people ready to hop on and be like, yeah, like, I want to go. Like, I want to learn with you. And in the beginning, when that's you it. Don't have you know, the capacity to put, you know, together payroll and W-2, like you can teach people what you've learned and then also pay on commissions. And that's what we did. And we started growing our team from there.
Yeah. We had like some teenagers, like 18, 19, 20 year olds. I think one, she was 30, but that was about it. And we showed them what to do and what we were doing.
Yeah.
And we went from doing like one deal a year to starting to do a couple of deals a month to a handful of deals every month from then on out.
So I'm with you. It's interesting. So I have a coach down in Maryland and he literally pulls, this is going to joke that I run with him. He pulls like, I joke that he pulls kids out of frat houses and then shows them how to make 200 grand a year in real estate.
Yep.
Like he's got a college age females that absolutely crush, but like he introduced me to the bros and these kids knew nothing about real estate. And he's like, this is the play you run. And now they each own investment property. The two guys that I was working with, they each own investment property. And they make a couple hundred grand a year.
Yeah.
Like talk about living life.
What I love about this situation is that there's so many people, and Jimmy, you know, you and I both know a lot of people like this, that they're not willing to release anything. They're not willing to share because they feel that if they give away knowledge, they'll have more competition.
So this is, so I love what Jen said. So one of the masterminds that I'm in, they talk about a play called Build Your Machine. So last July when I joined, I completely shifted my social media strategy. But I dove into sharing my story, not just real estate stuff. They talk about a 70-30 approach, 70% like life, what you're going through. So like my kids, my hobbies, those types of things. And then 30% business.
Right.
And my DMs have been on fire ever since. Like people are like, how do we work with you? Can I lend you money on your deals? Like what it, like I had a kid this morning. He's like, hey, listen, I've got over 100 grand. Like, how do I lend on your next deal? Right. So if you're sharing your story, those aren't, that's not super, super important.
And connecting, we love finding out the next frontier. And we always have had coaches, and you're talking to somebody I've never went to college. Like I thought that. Jen got her master's, she was a teacher, but I was thought a chiropractor. And then I chickened out last minute, never went. And this ended up being the best thing ever.
Hey man, it worked out. The other big thing that Frank was kind of leading into as well is abundance versus scarcity.
Yeah.
You get that scarcity mindset at the bottom. Right. But that's where you guys really, I would say just listen to your story briefly here. You guys always embody that abundance mindset. And that's why when you chose a scale, it took off. It sounds like
it took time though. Like when we first went full time, we were like, oh no, we can't share it. You know, we were nervous. And like you just said, and then one of our coaches, one of our mentors, you know, like, no, you need to tell the world and you need to like be abundant and not be scarcity mindset about that, because the more that you give, the more you'll get back. And we realized like there's so many sellers out there. There's more than we can help. And so like the more we can educate properly and bring us, you know, help more people. It once you realize that, and like money is energy and all those types of things. So
100%.
It takes, you know, you got to read the books. You got to pour into yourself. You got to hang around the right people to level up. Like you said,
that's it. You guys can see like a third of my book collection.
I love it. I know. I'm like, ooh, what you got?
Yeah, I've got all around here. Actually, the book that I'm on right now is The Mental Toughness Playbook by Andy Frisella. That is, I love Andy, but like that book is next level. And Patrick Bet David's new book is top notch. I don't know if you guys know PBD. His first book was Your Next Five Moves. His second book was Choose Your Enemies Wisely. It was just released in January. So good. So good. I'm a huge book nerd. We could talk about that stuff all.
Absolutely. Yeah. I haven't read those. I'll have to add them to my list.
So the main thing I'd love to hear about is some examples and especially some stories of ways you guys have been creative. We really want the audience here, creativity at its finest. And that's,
well, like, how are you guys finding these deals? Is it mailers, cold calling? And then like, how does a conversation start with the seller?
Yeah, really simple. The very first deal we did, we did a mailer, and that was quite a bit of money. Again, Joe was working like crazy hours at the dealership. So we kind of set that system up for sellers to be able to call into a 24/7 hotline. But then in 2020, where we hired more coaches, we decided social media was the way we wanted to go. I've always been a fan of social media. I'm very comfortable on it. And we started growing a presence because we do rent-to-own. So we were finding a lot of our rent-to-own buyers that way. So we were like, well, let's find our sellers that way too. And so we started with Facebook, and there's free ways to do it. And then there's sponsored ways that we do it as well. But it really, I love it because now they're reaching out to us. Because what I didn't like about the mailers is it was like a cold blast out there. And we got a lot of angry people. Like, how did you get my number? And they were mad. And that was just kind of an icky feeling for me, quite honestly. And it's just annoying for Joe Brown. But having the warm leads come to us, it was like game changer.
Yeah. So if somebody was looking to start, like, where would, what would you guys recommend? Is it get a coach, go to YouTube? How do they figure out that whole perspective? Do you guys offer coaching? Like, selfless plug, insert here if you guys offer it.
Yeah, we do work with clients. You know, it's kind of funny. We had, when we first started growing our team, we had a lot of people reaching out to us, asking us if we could, you know, be like a consultant and show them what we're doing. And we were an open book. So at first we were too busy, but then it got to be the point where it was like almost overwhelming. So we started working with clients about 3 years ago, showed them exactly what we do when we're training some new folks. Okay. And our clients became wildly successful and started doing tons of deals, quit their jobs. Many of them did. And the focus was 100% client, you know, satisfaction, but really client success. And what does that mean? Like, we got to get you to do a deal.
That's it.
And one of the strategies that we learned was from Facebook marketing. Mm-hmm. So if I want to target Baltimore, Maryland, what I would do is I would join Facebook groups in Baltimore, Maryland. What kind of groups?
Facebook groups of all sorts. It could be a yard sale, community group, I Love Baltimore, any sort of group that will accept you. You are going to be posting in there. So there's some, you know, definitely be mindful of them allowing you to kind of self-promote a little bit or, you know, share your business.
Yeah. So we would join these Facebook groups and then we make a post. And inside that post, it just says, does anybody have a house for sale that's not market ready? I'm looking to buy one in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And after we put that post in the Facebook groups, you're going to have sellers reach out to you. They're either going to make a comment on the post or they're going to hit you in the DMs. And then once they do, we would have basically like our script, which are really not a script. It's just 10 questions we like to ask sellers where we collect information and the sellers give us the offer. And every seller we talk to, we want to know if they'd be open to terms like seller financing or creative financing. And then also too, what would the cash number look like as well? And so from just doing that, we could generate, and our clients do generate, tons of leads of off-market properties for free without spending a dime. And if you could, you know, conquer lead gen and have to spend no money on lead generation, you're going to be successful as long as you could just do the next few steps, which are ask questions, get on the phone with the good ones, right? Like the time wasters, don't bother. But like, we have one we're buying right now. We have our own podcast, Creative Finance Playbook. Same thing, creativefinanceplaybook.com. But we were doing our live podcast 2 weeks ago. We do it on a Zoom. And during the podcast, the seller called me. And I was like, hey, anybody want to hear a seller call? So I just answered it live in front of everybody. And when I answered it, Becky, we call her Becky with the good rate, because that was her.
I love that.
That was her thinking. But Becky with the good rate has a house outside of Buffalo, New York, in a Grand Island. Nice area. She had a house that's built in 2013, turnkey, needs nothing. A couple of years ago, she put in a new pole barn, which is like gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And she bought another property around the corner and she already moved into it. And she's making two payments and she's living check to check. And that payment of $2,000 a month on her old house that's sitting there empty is killing her. So when we chatted with Becky, because she reached out to us, we asked her the questions. We found out she had motivation, mm-hmm. right? She said she'd be open to terms. We got on that phone. She picked it up. And when we chatted with her big thing is she wanted 360 for her house, which we agreed on because it's worth probably about 400. But her big factor was, we need to get this $2,000 payment off my back. So what we do is we're buying it, the deed, everything transferred over to us, but the loan will stay in her name. And the reason why we like doing this is because there's no bank qualification needed, things like that. But she has a 2.5% interest rate.
Wild.
2.5%. So not only is it a 2.5% interest rate, and there's the value on a turnkey property that needs nothing, like no junkers, right? But her payment's about 1900 and some change per month. And it rents for probably 2600 to 2800 a month. So when we're talking about cash flow kings, y'all, here we are, right?
Like, yeah, that's it.
Love it.
These are the deals you need to do, right? So we bought that deal with $100 down.
Love that.
We bought it for 360. She owes about 170. She's got a lot of equity, but the equity wasn't her thing. She's living paycheck to paycheck, can't afford $2,000 a month. And plus, if any of you know, this was filmed in January, where it is super cold in Buffalo. So she also has a high utility bill for keeping the place warm, right?
You can't let your
pipes freeze. So getting that kind of payment offer back was what she was really looking for. So we made that deal on the air, Becky with the good rate. And so we run into those, and those are what we look for. On the flip side of Becky, we had somebody reach out to us in Columbus, Ohio recently too. And I'm going to give you an example of one don't do.
Hold on. Let's pause. Questions about that one.
Okay.
Jim, you have any questions on that?
Yeah. So Becky with a good rate. I gotta steal that. That's so good. Mm-hmm. That's so good. So when you talk about she had 170,000 worth of equity.
Yeah.
So she is, my understanding would be if you paid 360, is she holding a second till you guys sell that? How does that look?
So we buy it in a wrap. So I'm just showing that I'm buying for 360. She's got 190,000 of equity. We've got up to 5 years to get her cashed out on that.
Got it.
And then what we do, our favorite strategy, instead of just turning it into a rental or an Airbnb, mm-hmm. we put in a rent-to-own renter. Our rent-to-renter will give us 20 to 30,000 to move in. They're going to pay us that 26 to 2,800 bucks a month for rent. Mm-hmm. Their price will be able to buy it at 400,000. And then we give them, you know, a couple of years to qualify for a mortgage. And if they need a little time, we do. And, you know, that's the greatest thing ever, because our tenants don't give us the phone calls for the light bulb that went out. Like, they do all of the stuff because they want to. They take better pride in the property, so you don't have any of the maintenance calls or things like that. So your cash flow is actually yours to keep. We don't even have management in place because it's not necessary.
Right. That 20 to 30,000 down when that tenant moves in, is that strictly to buy the option in order to purchase it down the road?
Correct. That's a non-refundable option deposit.
Love it. Do you guys ever go below 20, or is it like hard and fast 20 grand? That's it. Or is it like, hey, it's X percent of whatever the purchase price would be?
We really aim for that 10% of the purchase price. And we've been doing this long enough to know that you definitely need a lot of money when they go to purchase that property. And that's our end goal. We actually want to make our renters homeowners. And when they don't give you enough down, just creates a lot of headaches because they probably won't ever get that large amount eventually. And then they also don't have enough skin in the game. And if you know anything about New York, not exactly super landlord friendly up there. So you want to make sure that you're putting the right person in the right house.
No doubt. We're in kind of a purple state at this point. So although it's trending more blue, unfortunately. So I feel you there. I feel you.
Mm-hmm. So those are our favorite deals. And those are the deals where, you know, when you put in a client that gives you that much money as a non-refundable option deposit, and they know if they don't pay or something happens, they do not get that back.
Yeah.
We're very crystal clear, but our intent is for them to buy it too. And if we could sell it directly to our renters without having to pay a real estate commission and things like that, and we give them years to do it, it works out well for everybody. And it does. So we had a couple of cashes out last year, made a bunch of revenue from that, and then you could reinvest that into more property. So if you lose one door, you could pick up 3-4 more because of the way that we buy. Yeah. So that's been really neat, but you got to be mindful of the deals that you're buying. And just because a seller says yes to a deal doesn't mean it's a good deal. So you got to, you know, analyze it.
Right. Now, did that seller, Becky, with a good rate, I'm just going to keep going back to it. How much did she walk with at closing? Did she get paid anything at closing?
$100.
$100. Love it. The questions that I have, like, this is slam dunk.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I had a question, but it was already answered.
I appreciate you guys diving deep on how to do it, because people are like, oh my God, this is going to be like the most intense marketing, super hard. Literally, you're already scrolling on Facebook. You guys heard how to do it.
Well, yeah. I'm loving the fact that you and I hear all the time that there's no way to make money in this market. There's no way to in this market. And they literally got a phone call during a live video and made a deal out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you just don't want to overly complicate it either, because I think sometimes, especially the new investor, maybe without all of the proper coaching, is like you start trying to figure out a way to give the seller their equity when in reality, like, she doesn't need it. So, you know, you don't want to over talk too. You know, there's definitely ways to just negotiate simple, keep it very clean. You don't want to be like, oh, I'm an investor and I'm going to buy your house sub two. You know, that just scares people off. So we never use those words. Do everything like, just like we're talking to a neighbor down the street or grandma, you know, just try to keep it simple.
I literally said this on my sales call this morning with my team.
Yeah.
I'm like, sit back and just shut up. That's it.
Yep.
All right. So let's hear about what not to do. I could have swore I heard Columbus, Ohio, which is one of Jimmy's favorite places in the world.
I went to school in Columbus. So yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we recently had a seller reach out to us. They bought a house just conventionally on the market. This was, I think, March of 23. Mm-hmm. And they bought it for $505,000. House is in a nice neighborhood, completely renovated. I mean, this place is like out of a magazine, fully furnished. They did an amazing job, but they had it as an Airbnb and they realized that they don't like Airbnb. They don't even live in the area. It's not what they hoped it was going to be. It's not performing great enough. So they decided when they bought it for $505,000, put in closing costs, furnished the house, they probably have $530,000 into it. Well, what happened was now they want to sell it. They list on the market for $530,000 and it's not selling. They're instantly going to lose money because they have to pay a realtor commission too. So right. They've now dropped that price to $475, and it's still not selling. I mean, they're going to lose big time on the deal. So they see our post, they reach out to it, and they said, they answer our 10 questions. Yes, they're open to seller financing. Yes, they're open for no money down. We're like, this is great. Sent pictures of the property. Gorgeous. Absolutely. This is a deal all day long. Until I'm like, okay, what's the monthly payment, including tax and insurance? They say $3,400. So then I'm like, well, what does this property rent for? And I'm looking for rentals in the area. About $2,200, $2,300 a month. That's about it, right? So to buy that deal, I could do it with no money down. Turnkey, gorgeous house, beautiful neighborhood. This is the spot to be. But you're going to lose $1,000 to $1,200 a month. And I find out why. Well, why is because they have a 6.1% interest rate.
Oof.
Right.
They just bought it in March
2023, right?
Yeah. So here's the deal. When you're buying at today's prices and at today's interest rates, it's like I said, it's almost impossible to find a deal. So where we're finding the value in this, when a seller talks to us and we find out they have an interest rate under 4%, which there's a statistic that 66% of homeowners who have a mortgage have a rate under 4%.
Money.
Two thirds, right? So there's a lot of people out there who, and those people want to keep those deals. They don't want to move and buy another house and have a twice as high interest rate. But there's some of these people who need to sell.
Yep.
Right. Yep.
Right. So for that category who need to sell, they have some high motivation. Maybe they have a situation going on or even some pain and they have a 2.8, 2.5, 3.1. Those are the deals where we can make those because those cash flow. When I'm talking with the seller who has a 6, 7, we had one that had an 8% rate. It doesn't even come close to making sense. And I feel bad for those people because there's nothing that we could do on the creative side. And yes, you could buy it and possibly do an Airbnb in it. But the problem with that is if it's not performing or regulations that change in that area and you can no longer do it there, and I see it happening from time to time, and you decide I want to sell it, these people are going to lose $50,000, $60,000, $70,000.
Right.
Right. That's a big loss. So if it doesn't cash flow as a long-term rental, even if I'm going to do midterm or short-term, that's fine. But if it doesn't at least cash flow as a long-term rental, if that's what you had to do with it to keep it longer, we won't make those deals.
That's what I tell people all the time, you know, because stroke of a pen by the government can change everything.
Yeah, it really can.
Yep. And as far as that goes, that's what to look for, what not to look for. Does it work in high-end houses? Yes, it does. Does it work on the medium grade houses? Sure does. Does it work in the tough neighborhoods too? Sure does. I mean, multifamily, yes. So
what do you guys look for in terms of margin, right? So you talked about the good deal. It sounded like you're making about $800 a month. Like what's that barometer that you look for?
I mean, I don't want to sound bougie when I say this, but I'll be very truthful on the deal. Becky with the good rate, $100 down, $6,000 probably roughly in closing costs. We'll put an insurance policy on there. We set aside a few months worth of rent. So say I need $12,000 to buy that deal. When I find the right renter who gives me $20,000 to $30,000 to move in, I have got no money tied into the game. So my return is now infinite and we're collecting $600-$800 a month in cash flow. And then eventually when that renter 3, 4, 5 years from now buys the property, we get what's called the back end check. And that's that big daddy check that comes in that makes you smile and high five. And then, you know, as much as you'd want to go out and buy, you know, a new Ferrari or whatever, you just reinvest that into buying 3, 4 more houses, right? Don't wild out, reinvest it. I lose one door where I make $500 a month. The goal is to pick up 3 or 4 more where I'm making that on each one. And then you up your cash flow. And then if you buy those 4 more deals, would you have 4 more people who are giving you big option deposits to move in? So it just keeps turning to the snowball effect.
That's it. So but let's go back to Becky with a good rate. If you guys listen to that episode, you got to take a shot every time we say it.
Oh my gosh.
So she's locked in at 360. She has the equity. Do you lock in her equity? So as you guys are paying on the mortgage, you kind of make that big daddy check on either side. Does that make sense? Do I ask that right?
Yeah. So what happens is what we do in writing, I'm buying it for 360. At the time you owe, it's 169, but let's just say 170. And she's got 190,000 of equity. We put it in writing that you'll have 190,000 due within this time frame. That's perfect. It. So while we pay down the mortgage, that's ours because we're the ones that are owning the property. We're the ones paying it, not her. So we benefit from the pay down. So what do? You buy the property, you get write off depreciation. You're paying down your your debt quickly that's in somebody's name even better. So you could all the way around make a bunch of money. And now here's the deal. Becky walks away feeling amazing because she was getting cash offers in the 200s and low threes.
Right.
So she walks away getting top dollar for her house. She's thrilled that we're buying it as is. So there's an old pool table she doesn't want in the basement. I'm like, leave it. We'll take care of it. She's 62. I don't expect her to move this super heavy pool table out of the basement. So we just we'll buy it as is. I'll give you the $100 at closing and we'll take care of all of closing costs on our side and her side. And she's thrilled. So she walks away feeling great. We walk away feeling great. And if you do real estate right, everybody should feel like they're winning. And that's what we love to do.
And win. Hell yeah.
Yep.
So what is the biggest challenge right now in your business?
Well, so we also get some leads that are due fix and flips, right? They don't want to do seller financing, but because we generate leads, sometimes they just give us a huge cash offer. So we do some fix and flips all over the country. We do it virtually. So just kind of managing like, hey, did the plumber get there on time? Or did the electrician do the job correctly? And that's been a lot of fun. We just finished one not too long ago in Connecticut, north of Hartford. Oh, nice. And we bought that one with seller financing. She gave us a 10-year term, but we realized because of the price that she gave it to us for, if we put about $25,000-$30,000 worth of renovations into the house, we could turn around and sell it for quite a bit more. And so that's what we did. And the person who brought us that lead, we actually split that with them and we made about $70,000 and we split that in half. And
love that. If you're any Connecticut agent, I got you.
There we go. But that's the neat thing about it. It's just creating wins for people.
Yeah.
And so what does that mean? I have to look at maybe 75. Sometimes I have to look at 100 deals before I could buy one good one. Mm-hmm. So I think what happens is some challenges that people run into in general is I talked to 4 people and they all said no. I'm like, cool, 96 keep more to going. Go. Like, right?
Yeah. We call this aggressive patience.
Yeah.
Right? You keep working it. And then when that right deal comes across, you turn on the aggression, you get it done. Make it happen.
That's 100% right. Once you find a good deal, it's time to turn on the after boost and get that locked up, get it closed. Because, you know, if you're looking at a lot of deals and you don't love them and you want to cherry pick only the best ones, when you find the one that's the right match, don't hesitate, buy that deal.
Pull the trigger.
Yep.
All right. So let's ask you the questions that we ask all of our guests. The first one is, if someone wanted to become a better investor, what would you recommend?
Hire a coach.
Yep.
Love it.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time we've ever gotten that, but that's been critical on my journey. So
mine too.
I appreciate you guys for that.
There's 4 coaches on this call right now. So
we have one now who's amazing and we've always had coaches with us.
Yeah.
And every single time we've done that, we've leveled up for sure, had an excellent return on our money.
You're putting money out, like taking money out of your bank, which sometimes feels really scary, especially if you don't have a lot. But every time we have, it's paid us back. Like, I don't even know.
Oh my gosh.
So much. Can't even say like,
well, and the thing is this, people go spend tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of college to get out to make what, 40, 50,000 at your job.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean,
go spend 100,000 on college and you're not going to make, or comparatively versus, hey, spend this much on a coach and we could probably triple your money at a minimum. Right.
Not only that, but they'll lend it to you a lot easier too.
Well, and the point of it is too, like, what does a teacher make their first year on the job?
29,000.
Not enough.
What's a lawyer make, right? Or anybody make? It's not as much as you would think. You'd be pleasantly surprised. It's not.
And you can literally make that on one deal. Like, crazy to go. Like, what I made my first year is one deal, like on probably a lower end deal too at this point. But
yep.
We have an agent on my team and his goal was to make $50,000 in commissions. So I'm like, go hire a cold caller because this is what he wanted to do. He's got a cold caller. He got a lead yesterday and he was stuck. He didn't know what to do. I'm like, dude, pull the trigger. You know somebody that will buy that. He's got it under contract on the back end. So he locked it up at 500, locked it up the next day for 550, 50K. He's like, I already beat my goal. I'm like, I told you it was too low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it takes just one deal to change your life.
That's it.
And the money is great, but it's also the proof of concept too.
Oh, yeah.
That you did it. Because after you did it once, you just keep doing that. And
I keep going back to the cookie jar.
You start giggling $50,000 a year, which is great, but you know, there's so much more potential, We live the richest country in the world just about. So if you're not taking advantage of, it's never been easier to communicate with people than it is now. Technology's never been better. There's all types of resources at our fingertips. When I first got started 24 years ago, YouTube didn't even exist yet. Right. Google was maybe a year too old. I don't even know. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't Google yet. So, I mean, it was out there, but it wasn't. what it is now. So it's never been easier just to do this now.
All right. Next question. What is one book you consider a must read?
That's so hard. Pick one book.
Yeah.
Somebody hit me with this when I spoke last week in Boston, and I was like, one? Oh, dude, I'm with you. I feel you.
Yeah, I tell my new clients or anyone that's just like looking to like start, I say The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. His whole concept is what is easy to do is also easy not to do. And it just gives you like that little bit of slight edge. But I got to throw in there Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, because I feel like that's just the OG of PD, right? Like if you haven't read, you know, that book, you have to have it on your bookshelf. And when the time is right, read it and it will speak to you.
100%.
There you go. Last question is, what do you guys want to be when you grow up? Which means, where do you see you and your business 5 or 10 years down the road?
Oh,
I see myself retired and Jen doing creative finance for women. No, I'm kidding. I've always joked around with that.
He always says that.
I feel like female investors are way more badass than dudes. I feel like it's just female investors are way cooler from my experience of who I've met.
Everyone we've hired, the women just crush it. Even some of our clients, I mean, some of the women that we have in there are just unbelievably amazing. So, I mean, I love doing this and I feel like it's almost an obligation to give back in it, because if I didn't get that course for free when I was broke and had nothing going on, who knows what I'd be doing right now? I don't know. True. So the fact that like I got this information and I was able to turn something out of my life into it, I feel like giving back more of this opportunity to people. So I know for me, I will still be doing exactly what we're doing now. Maybe just not as crazy, because I will tell you what, there are some days where just being a real estate investor, if you do anything full-time, doesn't matter. You could be a McDonald's drive-through. You could work as a barista, high executive. Like there's always going to be the ups and downs, but it's also kind of exciting at the same time. So
one of my good friends put a post on Facebook that actually went viral a couple of weeks ago. And he said, if you don't want to burn it all down and work at McDonald's at least once a week, you aren't entrepreneuring hard enough.
Yeah.
Oh, that one hit me pretty square. I was like, yeah,
yep.
Definitely want to burn it down, all of it.
Yeah.
At least once a week. So,
but you got to be tough and you got to be
mental toughness.
Just mental toughness. And that's why when Jen talked about like the slight edge and all of these things, the first thing that we always talk about when we were working with anybody, it has nothing to do with real estate, but everything to do with real estate. And that's your mindset. And your mindset, if you're going to go into something saying, I'm going to try this and see how it works, you're not going to do well. I can already tell you, you're going to hate it and you're going to quit in 2 minutes. The first thing something goes wrong, you're going to quit and say, oh, I knew this didn't work, right? But for somebody who is just pig-headed stubborn like I was, and I'm like, I'm doing this no matter what. I don't care who's with me or who's not, but this is what I want to do. And having that determination is the key to anything you're going to do. I don't care if you're an athlete, a performer, whatever that is. That's the kind of mindset you need to have. So that's crucial.
Definitely. So we appreciate you guys coming on. If somebody wanted to reach out to you guys, like what's the best way to get a hold of you? Is it a follow on Instagram? Go to your website? What's the best way?
Yeah, absolutely. If you head over to our website, creativefinanceplaybook.com, we have all of our social medias attached there. We have a nice community on Facebook, a nice group there. So definitely come and join us, hang out over there. We, like Joe said, we go live every Tuesday. So we love to give back and, you know, just come chat with us.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So we thank you guys for being on our podcast. Everyone listening in, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Cashflow Kings. In between podcasts, check out our website at thecashflowkings.com. Or on Instagram, where we provide daily content. Cheers to your success.
The Cashflow Kings program is for basic entertainment purposes only. We do not give official legal, tax, or investment advice.